You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
So, Buck, football's back, and a reminder that it is wild. Even in preseason, football is wild. Like, you were on the call as part of the Jags broadcast team in Dallas for Nathan Rourke's ridiculous touchdown throw in that ball game. But that's not the first time you've seen him. Do you remember you and I on the call in the Rose Bowl at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl when he was one of the players, one of the quarterbacks selected out of the University of Ohio? What do you think? Life comes at you fast, huh?
It comes at you fast. It's full circle. And let me tell you about Nathan Rourke. Like, not only you talk about the NFLPA game, but having watched him in the CFL with the BC Lions, watch him do his thing. I'm be honest with you, Rhett. When I'm watching him, I'm calling it. Obviously, I'm on the Jaguars call, and I'm looking at him play, and I'm like, man, this dude is ready for the moment. And it wasn't just that play, because the entire game, he had displayed a level of poise and patience that you're like, this guy is an NFL quarterback. And so that just kind of was like the cherry on top of the sundae. But it was a remarkable play. And it's one of the moments that, look, you live for in the preseason. A lot of people talk about, why do you have the preseason? Those things, there are a bunch of guys chasing dreams.
Yeah,
but it's those moments, because that's the thing would live with him forever. It was a great moment. It was a great play for him. But I think it's one of those things that could be the difference in whether you make the team or whether you don't make the team, because it was a fantastic playmaking moment.
My goodness. Breaks about three or four tackles. For those of you who haven't seen it yet, just go to the NFL social pages and you'll find it all over the place. Breaks three or four tackles. And then with the last tackler draped all over his legs, fires a shot into the end zone for a Jaguars touchdown, which was just electric. But just a quick backstory on Nathan Rourke, by the way, because, you know, a reminder, never throw away your spotter charts that have all your notes from your game broadcast, because I went back and looked at it and I was like, God, that name sounds familiar, right? So this is a dude who was born in Canada, right? Played high school football in Canada his first 3 years, then moved down to Alabama to play high school football in Alabama, went 13-0 with that team his first year there, playing in the States, won a state title in Alabama. He was trying to get noticed by college recruiters, didn't have any major scholarship offers, went to community college in 2016 at Fort Scott, then got a scholarship offer to go to Ohio, where he becomes one of the most decorated passers in Bobcat football program history. Then got, you know, bounced around the league a little bit, undrafted, finds his way to Canada, becomes the most outstanding Canadian football player in the CFL this past year, and now is making memories on the NFL level and highlight-worthy plays.
So how about this? Not only is he a Bobcat legend, but how about his younger brother, Curtis?
Still there, right?
Not only still there, but he was the conference player of the year.
See?
And he's on the Davey O'Brien list as one of the top quarterbacks in the country. And so you talk about the family being in good hands, being able to talk about maybe another football family about to take the NFL by storm. Man,
there it is. The Rourkes. Ready to roar. Hey, let's do it. Let's start the show.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Move the Sticks. As you know now, Rhett Lewis and Bucky Brooks here with you on today's episode. DJ will be back with us later this week after calling his first preseason game with the Chargers as they took on the Rams in the battle for SoFi Stadium, which certainly had some intrigue to that one. But I think it's prudent for us to kind of go back, Bucky, and we're not just going to talk NFL today. We are going to have some college ball talk. I'll give you guys a little synopsis of what I saw down this summer from the Manning Passing Academy and kind of take you back there as we get set for week zero of college football coming up real quick, like 2 weeks from now. So, but let's begin in the NFL preseason, Buck, by looking at some of these rookie quarterbacks that we saw for the first time. Because, you know, to me, it almost felt like this was an extension of path to the draft, right? Like, that's what the preseason and training camp can be. It's our first chance to see the guys that we've talked about from January to May. And let's start right at the top with the number one overall pick in Bryce Young. The Carolina Panthers had a chance to take on the Jets. And look, you never want to get too high. You never want to get too low on preseason. But I thought this was a fairly mediocre outing, not just from Bryce Young, but from the Panthers kind of as a whole. I mean, they had like 19 total yards in the entire first half of that game. So there's a lot of stuff to look at there. But for Bryce, do you have an overriding takeaway from his first NFL action?
Well, overriding takeaway, I would say that the game didn't look too big. It didn't look too big for him. So a lot of times, the first NFL action, you're trying to figure out, do they at least look the part? Does it look like it's overwhelming them, or do they feel like they have a general command of the offense and what they're being asked to do? Does the operation time look okay? Are they getting from huddle to the line of scrimmage without any issues, the communication and those things? And then it's the performance and the production. And so he was fine. It was solid. It wasn't anything that necessarily stood out. The offense didn't really move the ball. He didn't look like
he was, like he was zero first he was, downs.
Like he was swimming in it, but you want to see better. And so I know, like, a lot of times coaches will attack the first game without a game plan. They'll just kind of call plays, yeah, not off the cuff. But it's important in week two that we see more, a little more play, a little more production and urgency from the offense when he's at charge.
And again, top of show, we were talking about the moment for Nathan Rourke, right? And I think preseason can be about moments more than anything else. Not about results, not even really about stats, but it's about things that you can see and latch onto, whether good or bad, that can help predict a player's future performance in an offense or a defense, I guess. But for Bryce Young's case, I think one thing that you were always kind of wondering in the back of your mind, despite the immense talent and the terrific production he had in college, was, all right, how's he going to hold up in the NFL game? Not the biggest dude out there. We've talked about the size and all that at length. He got hit four times, three hits and one sack. Mm-hmm. And he got up each time, no worse for the wear. But I will tell you, it felt like some of those hits were more, quote unquote, violent than I'd seen him get hit his entire college career. But he's good, which is great, which is, you know, if you're the Panthers, you love to see it.
I mean, you do love to see it, but I mean, you don't want to see
you want to limit it.
Yeah, you want to limit the things, but Red, this is one of the things that we talked about, like running up to the draft when there were the concerns about the size and everyone's like, oh, he's never been hit. He can protect himself or whatever. The NFL game, they catch up to you.
It's different.
No matter what. It's just a different game. You're going to take some big boy shots. And so the fact that he was able to get up, you love that. But I'll say this. For the Panthers, you want to make sure that you shore up the protection and give your franchise quarterback an opportunity to throw from the grassy knoll. And if you can't protect them, it's going to be an issue, because no matter who you are, no matter how big you are at quarterback, if you get hit consistently, you're going to get hurt. And so the Panthers need to make sure they shore up the protection issues to keep their franchise quarterback upright and around the entire season.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, vanilla playbook, whatever. I mean, he did most of his operating from inside the pocket. And I think you're going to see Bryce Young on the move quite a bit when we get this thing rolling, would be my guess, just because he's got that athleticism, that ability to make those plays out on the run. And we didn't see a ton of that in this game. So I imagine maybe we see a bit more of it going into the second preseason game Friday, which you can see on NFL Network as they take on the Giants. Let's move to CJ Stroud, pick number two. Houston up in New England to take on the Patriots in this game. Look, the first drive, you kind of want to wipe that one clean, right? Took a sack on first down, threw a pick on third and 21. Mm-hmm. All right, let's flush it. Let's get back out there and let's go play. And I think, you know, you can see some of the reasons why the Texans were excited to take him at number two. And that's, you've seen it throughout training camp if you've been in and around the Texans. Like, the big arm is there. The accuracy is there. You know, enough mobility is there. Now it's just a matter of putting all the pieces together around him, you know, and getting comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it. In fact, Red, I love seeing him struggle early, because, like, the biggest thing for young quarterbacks is, how do they bounce back from adversity? How do they bounce back from poor moments? Do they have the confidence and the wherewithal? Hey, I throw a pick, but I'm going to go right back out there. I'm going to be the same gunslinger that I displayed before the mistake. And can I learn from that mistake while continuing to remain aggressive and those things? And I think for CJ Stroud, you want to get some of those things out of the way. That's what the preseason's for. And I know social media will take these young guys to task for messing up and having mistakes, but part of the NFL game is, man, and until you play it, you don't know what you're stepping into. The speed of the game is faster. The defenders that you're dealing with are faster. The schemes that you're dealing with are more complex. And so you're trying to figure out all this stuff on the move. And so you're going to make mistakes. The good ones find a way to work through those mistakes and get to the other side. And so we got a chance to see CJ Stroud kind of work through some of those issues that plagued him early in the game.
Texans back at it against the Dolphins on Saturday, a game that you can see on NFL Network, 4 o'clock Eastern time, week two of the preseason. Moving on to number four overall pick. That was Anthony Richardson, of course, going to the Indianapolis Colts, who coincidentally was the only of the top four rookie quarterbacks drafted that played in this first week of the preseason that didn't take a sack. And I, you know, you see his body type, you see his athleticism. That's not surprising. He definitely used a little bit of that physicality on a former teammate, I believe, Kyer Elam, as he kind of truck sticked him a little bit as he was going out to the sideline. Now, he did have an interception in this game, but I think once you kind of parse through that a little bit and look a little bit deeper, again, this is why you have to have some caution with box scores when you're in the preseason. One receiver took credit initially, and then I think Shane Steichen took credit for the call and what was going on. And so it's not, I think the moral of the story is interception, not necessarily on Richardson. He's trying to make a play, kind of, you know, maybe a little bit more season. He just kind of eats it, right? Or throws it, you know, into the second row.
Yeah, no, and I think one of the things that you want from your young quarterback is to learn, A, the ball is the most important thing. You got to value the ball. Yeah. You can't turn the ball over and those things. It is better to take a sack or an incompletion than to give the ball to the other team. And a lot of times it takes young quarterbacks a while to do that. Because remember, for Anthony Richardson, we'll judge him differently than CJ Stroud and Bryce Young because he didn't play as much. Right. He doesn't have enough snaps, enough game experience maybe to work through some of the things that you work through as a collegiate. And so the Colts knew this when they took him. It is going to be a bumpy road for him because he has to learn how to play the game at the highest level while also teasing us with all this spectacular talent that is. So you're going to get a mixed bag whenever he goes out there. But if you're the coach, you're certainly encouraged because you talk about the athleticism, the arm talent, it's all there. It's now can you put it together and allow and help him play the game at a high level?
Yeah, and I remember I was on the desk leading into this game. We were kind of doing some game breaks for NFL Network during our preseason studio coverage. And, you know, I was talking with Michael Robinson and Steve Mariucci about it. And I was like, I want to see him hit the easy ones. I just want to see him, you know, stack some completions and do some of the things. Because like, we know he can do the nutso stuff, right? We know he can do that wild, you know, 80-yard throw down the field or, you know, maybe take one 80 yards on the ground for a touchdown like he did against LSU. So I wanted to see just some of the gimmies because when I was out of practice, this is early training camp, those were still some of the things that were kind of plaguing him. And then to go back to your point with the reps and the experience and the seasoning, you know, I also throw in the fact that this dude knows he is like a one-of-one athlete at quarterback, and there aren't many dudes like him in the world that can do what he can do. So it's got to be a difficult thing mentally to say, man, I know I can shake this dude off and still try to make this throw, whereas the seasoned quarterback, you know, the veteran might say, all right, maybe I can, but it's probably best that I don't, right? Yeah. Which is that process.
And it look, it's a learning process.
And that's tough.
It's a learning process where you have to learn what I can and what I can't do. And going all the way back to, and I'm not necessarily comparing Anthony Richardson to Pat Mahomes, but I do know that Andy Reid encouraged Pat Mahomes to kind of find where those boundaries were and then said, look, we can bring you back, but I want you to push the envelope and see what you can and what you can't do that first season. So in that second season, you know exactly where the boundaries are and you can play within or paint within the lines. And so for Anthony Richardson, depending on the conversation that they've had, it's about that. Hey, man, let's see what you can do. And then we'll figure out to take what you can do and put you in an offense that protects you while also allows you to really showcase your talents. And the only way you can work through some of that stuff is you got to do it in game. And so this is part of the experimentation, the phase where you go through and you're trying to figure all those things out. And so, look, it's week one. Let's see what it looks like week two.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. So looking forward to seeing Anthony Richardson take on the Bears, 7 o'clock Eastern time, also live for you on NFL Network. All right, let's move to the Tennessee Titans. And I can kind of throw Malik Willis in here because for all intents and purposes, he does not have enough experience or reps to really consider himself a second-year player in the league. And I started a game or two last year because they had to, right? And then they ended up going to sign Josh Dobbs, and it just he wasn't ready at that point, mm-hmm. right? Let's concede that. I think it's clear at this point, Will Levis is not ready either. And this was only his first preseason action, and both of these guys are extremely talented dudes. I think they could throw the heck out of the ball. They're both very athletic, but I think it's clear that, you know, the Titans are rolling with Ryan Tannehill. If it wasn't clear before, it's clear now, because mm-hmm. it just felt like it's going to take some more time for Will and for Malik to prove that they can see everything in front of them the right way and the way that the Titans want them to, because these guys, it felt like to me they were holding on to the football for a long time. Took 8 combined sacks. They were the only 2 quarterbacks that played. They got sacked 8 times. So they were holding on to the football. Now, some of that may be on the receivers they're playing with, on the protection, sure. But I saw, you know, Will Levis got blindsided like twice, you know, at like the 3.5 to 4 second mark is what it felt like sometimes. So you'd like to see him get the ball out of their hands a little bit quicker. And I think that'll come the more comfortable they get. And, you know, the more experienced they are within this offense.
Yeah, it certainly is the thing that the only thing you can do for young quarterbacks like that with Levis and Willis is they need time and experience. And you try and give them as much time as you can in the preseason, because practices are different than games. And you're also trying to remake them, because some of these issues that have shown up in games were issues that plagued them at Liberty, at Kentucky, respectively. And so you're trying to clean up their games, give them the solid foundation that they need, while giving them the game experience. And even though the preseason is not quite like the regular season, you got to put them in there, because you can't simulate this stuff in practice all the time. And so you have to live with some of it. The good thing, if you're the Titans, you know that you have Ryan Tannehill. You know that you can play an entire season with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback. There's no rush to get these guys ready. But one of these guys has to emerge as a QB2. One of them has to be good enough to be the backup quarterback. And so right now, I would bank on Malik Willis being that, but we'll see. The Titans may have to go out and sign another guy while these other guys continue to work on the practice field as developmental players.
Yeah, and I hope they continue to get tons of reps in the preseason. Like, I just feel like that's the only way that you're going to get an accurate picture of what these guys are going to become eventually. And so we'll see Will Levis and Malik Willis again week 2 of the preseason when they take on the Vikings on Saturday night and 8 p.m. Eastern time kick. All right, let's get back quickly to those the Jaguars-Cowboys game that you were at. Any other young player performances that stood out to you from either team? I mean, obviously Deuce Vaughn was a big one from the Cowboys. You got to see that highlight show in person. What else did you see there?
Well, let's stay on both of the running backs. Yeah. So let's talk about Deuce Vaughn and let's talk about Tank Bigsby. Deuce Vaughn first. Red, I'm not going to lie. I was a little skeptical about the little fella. It was a nice story. It was a feel-good story. His dad working for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Him coming from Kansas State, undersized, and those things. But let me tell you real quick. It dawned on me that this dude is for real. He put a move in the hole on a defender one-on-one that was like, ooh, wow. And then it wasn't just the wiggle and the elusiveness. His ability to turn speed into power, to run through contact, to get to the second level. The Cowboys offense changed when he went in the game. And I know it's preseason, but you can kind of see like, hey, well, maybe they don't need to be in a rush to bring back Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe they can get away with 2 scat back types, because Deuce Vaughn runs in between the tackles. Like, he's small and short in stature, but he is a physical runner in between the tackles. And you saw that. And the more opportunities he got, the better he played. So really impressive with him. Tank Bigsby for the Jaguars was brought in to be, I would say, the banger. Travis Etienne is the number one. He's going to do the things. But there was something that was missing in that offense where they still needed a physical presence. Maybe they thought they were going to get it from Snoop Connor. They didn't get it. Bigsby is physical. He does a great job of finishing his runs in a violent fashion. But he broke out on a 33-yard run that showed a little bit of that speed and explosiveness getting to the second level. And so both of the young guys, first action, you could see what they bring to the table. You also could begin to envision the role that they could play with their respective teams.
Yeah, Look, no doubt. Just kind of because DJ's not here, I'll just go back to the Chargers-Rams game a little bit, because the symmetry in this thing is just ridiculous. Last time Stetson Bennett and Max Duggan played college football, it was at SoFi Stadium on opposite teams in the national championship. The next time they play competitive football in the NFL is at SoFi Stadium playing on opposite teams. Like that's... Look, football's weird, man. Football's wild. It's weird and it's amazing. It's why we love it. But Max Duggan, one of the rookie quarterbacks for the LA Chargers, and then Stetson Bennett, obviously a fourth round draft pick of the LA Rams. And I don't want to get into them too much. It's a bit further down the line. You know, Rams and Chargers hoping they never see him next year, right? Hope they continue to develop. But one guy that the Chargers hope they do see a lot of, and they hope they see him where we found him in this last game, is Quentin Johnston, and that's in the end zone. And for me, it was really great to see the payoff of all the social media highlight reels that we saw from training camp practices with Quentin Johnston. You saw him do something, you saw it in an actual live game setting, end zone, red zone monster. That's what he should be. And you add in another one of those weapons like Mike Williams to go along with Keenan Allen. Darius Davis, too, by the way, his TCU teammate, also on that team. Like, there's a lot to like now. As if there wasn't before, but about the way that this Chargers offense can attack a defense and the different ways they can do it.
Oh, man. Just this is a team that, and I feel like we always fall in love with the Chargers in the preseason. You see them, because when you look at them on paper, there's not a team that has more talent than the Chargers. And when you look at the quarterback and you think about just all the pieces around him, he should be able to go. And then when you see this offense in action, whether it's the ones, the twos, the threes, look, there's a lot of sexy stuff that they do. And then with Kellen Moore coming over and what he is going to bring as an attack-minded offensive coordinator who wants to do it primarily through the air, but it gives them a different flavor, a different feel. You can see it. The thing for the Chargers will continue to be, one, can they keep Justin Herbert protected? Two, do they have enough balance to close out games so it doesn't become all lopsided in terms of we're chasing points, but we don't play the game right? And then defensively, what are they going to be on defense? Because we've seen, as great and as respected as Brandon Staley is for his defensive mind and acumen, you do wonder, man, this team, man, they give up a lot of yards on the ground.
Yep.
Can they continue to win doing that while being, hey, we're going to take the explosive plays away? And so how do the pieces of the puzzle come together? But this team, when you look at them on paper, they're one of the five best teams in the AFC. They should be in the hunt. But can they get it done? Because the hype has been around in the last 3 or 4 years. At some point, they got to get it done.
And then the last thing, you know, that I'll say about the receiver core, because it felt like, you know, oh, that's do they need another receiver? It's a little bit of a luxury pick with the Chargers. Well, think about this. Mike Williams, for as great as he has been when healthy, misses some games. Keenan Allen has missed some games in recent years. And now you don't lose another one of those alpha 1A targets. You bring Quentin Johnston in and it's like, okay, we're and then look, when they're all healthy, it's amazing. But you don't lose an element of your attack if one of those guys goes down.
And the other part of it is you've now paid a quarterback. And when that really kicks in on the salary cap, you might have to make some decisions outside. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams.
Mike's on a shorter deal, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to have somebody that can step in and replace one of those guys. And so the economics change when you pay the quarterback. Yep. And so what you have around them, sometimes you got to mix and match high price guy with a draft pick. So they have options. And I would give them credit. They're probably a year or two ahead of the curve in terms of having to make that decision. But now you do it while you give your young guy an opportunity to learn before he has to step into that big role, as opposed to drafting a guy and saying, hey, you got to step right in and fill these big shoes that you're replacing.
No doubt. All right. So we're not just talking NFL preseason. We're going to talk some college football preseason here in just a moment. We'll do it right after this break. Stick with us here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Right, Louis Bucky Brooks back here with you. Move the sticks. Rolling on to the college game here. We're just a couple of weeks away from kicking off week zero of college football. It is a brand new world we're living in, although we are not here to solve NIL and conference realignment. But what we can talk about are the players that we're going to see this year. And I got a chance to see 40 of the best quarterbacks in the nation this summer down at the annual Manning Passing Academy, where Archie Manning invites the best quarterbacks out to be staffers and counselors to the high school kids that are out there running around trying to get better. And Buck, you know these settings well, and all the camp work that you do. These dudes, this was the best in recent memory, just overall group that I've been around. Fun group. They enjoyed themselves. They competed like heck. And they actually coached like heck, like coached these kids up in a big way. And I thought they made for a really valuable experience for a lot of those 1,250 kids that were there trying to get better. So I thought that was super cool. And I mean, like Drake May's out there, it's a guy that could be one of the top two quarterbacks drafted next year from your alma mater, UNC. I'll start there. I did get to talk to him a little bit, chatted with him about Chapel Hill. I wanted to get to know the lay of the land. Cause as IU basketball, we don't need to go down to Chapel Hill to play you guys. So you guys always come to us.
I mean, we always somehow it's the only team that I've ever known that only plays all home games when it comes to the Tar Heels. Like the only time I've ever seen Indiana play has always been in Assembly Hall. I never get a chance to see him in the Dean Dome.
But we don't need to. We don't need to be there. We've been there. We don't need. We don't need to do that. So that's why I wanted to get the lay of the land of Chapel Hill, just because I've never been. So Drake and I had a good time chatting. Phil Longo leaves as offensive coordinator. You bring in a bit of a different system now that maybe a little bit less kind of all spread out and wide open. As Phil Longo now brings that attack to Wisconsin. And I thought one of the things that Drake told me was kind of interesting mechanics wise. He was like, now I feel more comfortable in my mechanics in this new system because I'm not doing the back pedal, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not like with my eyes, like with his back, parallel, like face, he can actually do a more traditional drop back. It's not like that, be in the gun, take those couple of quick steps back and plant and throw. So he's like, I feel this is the way I've been playing quarterback my whole life. And so this part of the new scheme, a new offense feels good and feels familiar. So I don't know, maybe we get even more out of Drake May, just from that perspective, knowing that he's comfortable in his foundation and his mechanics. And then, was talking to him, a little bit more about the offense and, about himself and whether he, kind of pays attention to all the hype that's around him. And he's like, it's hard not to. And, people talk on campus, they pass by and, somebody might yell out number one pick, whatever. And so like, he gets all that stuff. But the one thing that made me sad, and believe me, I'm not shedding a tear for Drake May, who's making millions of dollars this year, will make millions of dollars next year. But I was like, do you get a chance to like be a student at all, like to be a college student athlete? Does it feel like you're getting the college experience, seeing as how hyped up you are and the continued professionalization of college sports? And he was like, no, not really. He's like, I live off campus with my brother, like we don't I'm not around that much, it's kind of just like all football, all school, and then that's it. And that kind of made me a little sad. Like, I love the college experience. Now, look, nobody was messing around and paying me millions of dollars to do it, Bucky. But, I feel like that part of it, I hope that we don't get too far along in the game here where that gets completely erased for some of these kids.
Yeah, no, that would be unfortunate if he doesn't feel like he has the college experience. We had a chance to talk to him last week, and it was fun. It's fun to hear him. He's a very mature kid, like super mature when it comes to like just understanding what he's dealing with and all the things that he's learned, what he learned from Sam Powell and all those things. And so you want him to do that. But he's stepping into the beginning of what would be a pressure cooker for him over the next few years. Like his final seasons in college before he goes into the pros. And then when he gets to the pros, he's going to have to deal with expectations and all this other stuff. But you talk about guys who are ready to handle it. He appears to be ready to handle it. And the thing that I would say was overlooked, he said last year was the first year that he played. He hadn't played in 2 years. Didn't have his COVID season, his senior year. Right. Then he was a red shirt he sat behind Sam Howell. So he hadn't played. So I would expect to see an even better version of Drake May now that he has played. And the stuff that you're hearing about the offense in terms of a little more under center, a little more traditional dropback stuff, that's only going to make him more attractive to teams, because
better believe it.
In the NFL world, we see a lot of shotgun, but teams like to put the quarterback under center because the play action is more effective. It allows you to kind of separate the defense differently. So if he already has those tools in his toolbox, it makes him better for him when it comes to playing.
No question. So like, he was not the only big name quarterback. Obviously, in the work that I do for Indiana, as part of the radio broadcast, I was paying close attention to the three Big Ten quarterbacks that were there, all three of which are transfers. Start with Luke Altmyer, transferred from Ole Miss to Illinois, and now is likely going to be QB1 for Brett Bielema with the Fighting Illini. You had Tanner Mordecai, who now leaves SMU and goes to join Phil Longo's offense under Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. And then Hudson Card, who left UT in Austin to go up and join Ryan Walters at Purdue, along with Graham Harrell. So another wide open offense there, certainly in West Lafayette. And kind of it pains me to say it, but I was kind of most impressed out of all three of those guys with Hudson Card. I mean, dude's got a real arm, like a big time live arm, especially throwing the ball down the field. I think he was at his best throwing, you know, 15 to 30 yards downfield. And then he throws the go ball, you know, really well. And Mordecai is more than capable, and same with Altmyer. But in terms of I don't think Illinois is going to ask a ton of Luke Altmyer. They didn't last year with Tommy DeVito. I think with Purdue, like, you got a chance for Hudson Card to put up some ridiculous numbers.
And you do. And the thing about Purdue and what you always love about Purdue is they've always been a place that has thrown the ball all over the yard. I mean, that's part of, going back to the Joe Tiller days, that's part of what they do. Boiler up. They're going to throw it around. They're going to do that. You're going to have wide receivers. You're going to have quarterbacks. And so he steps into a nice situation for him to showcase his talents while also having a good team around him. This is a team that has been pretty solid. And so
they're a six-win team, at minimum, usually, year in, year out. And how about Aiden O'Connell? Last year's Purdue quarterback, who played really well for the Las Vegas Raiders, another rookie quarterback who got a ton of run there. And then just another couple of quarterbacks that stood out to me. One was Michael Pratt from Tulane. Been there for a long time. I think obviously, kind of really jumped out into the national consciousness beating USC in the bowl game last year. Tulane did. And obviously Tyjae Spears was a big part of that too. Made some nice plays for the Tennessee Titans on the ground as one of their running backs this past week. But Michael Pratt's a guy to watch. I think he could end up being one of those all-star game guys that really kind of elevates himself as we get into the draft process. Very experienced, been around the block quite a bit. He was another one of those guys that kind of just that continued to stand out to me.
What I like about Tulane and how they really settled in, really Fitz has done a really good job there. This is a team offensively, they do a bunch of different things. And so you're looking at a quarterback who has a lot of experience dealing with, I would say, some of the complexities of the college game. It's not quite the same as the pro game, but he's had to deal with a lot of things, from the option stuff they use to moving the pocket and doing all that other stuff. It helps. And so I'm excited to see him. This is a team that, when you got a chance to watch them against USC, man, they took them to the shed, beat them up a little bit.
They did.
It was a very impressive performance. It was a very impressive performance. And so you like to see teams and guys that can kind of punch above their weight class. And so he's been able to do that. And so all eyes will be on him as he goes forward.
Last two to keep an eye on before we get out of here today. Riley Leonard from the Dukies. Okay. All right. UNC, you watch out for Riley Leonard this year. Really technically sound quarterback. He is super athletic as well. In fact, what's the best way to put this? He was encouraged to try out for the Duke basketball team. Like, not the intramural team, like the actual Duke basketball. Like, he is a big time hooper. A major athlete. Again, we love seeing those cross trainers, at any position, but I think a quarterback, it's pretty cool as well. So Riley Leonard, one to watch. And then another one that was particularly exciting to me to see was Carter Bradley, Gus Bradley's son, from South Alabama. Added some real physicality and sturdiness to his frame. Felt like this offseason, throws the ball really well. And then obviously the bonus here that I can't forget to mention is Joe Milton. My God, Bucky. Ooh. Joe Milton. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He can throw it 90 yards, right? He talked about throwing it 90 yards.
80? Well, he said the farthest he's ever thrown it was 98. I saw him throw it 83.
That's crazy.
83, and that's not in counting the right to left, because it was far right hash to back left corner of the end zone, minus 25 to 8 yards deep in the end zone. On the money, on a dime. I've never seen anything like it.
He's a freak. And so the biggest thing that can help Joe Milton is whatever happens to Anthony Richardson. If Anthony Richardson turns out, because now what we're talking about is someone who possesses elite prototypical traits. And the arm talent for Joe Milton is there, the size, all of those things you see. But he's going to have a chance. And that offense is going to highlight what he does. And we saw briefly, he had an opportunity to step in for Hendon Hooker.
And at the end of the season, I thought he did well. Yeah.
Offense didn't skip a beat. So he's going to have an opportunity to do it in that system that I would call that
spread zany, them out, baby.
Zany spread system that really puts defenders on islands. But yeah, he's going to have an opportunity to do that. So it should be great to watch.
No question. All right. So there's just a little college football primer for you as we sit here getting set for that first game of the season coming up here in just a couple of weeks. All right. That's going to do it for us here on Move the Sticks. We've got another episode coming up later this week. DJ will be back with Bucky on Thursday, and we'll look forward to seeing y'all then. Thanks again for being with us here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.